Unit 4, Loans for the Dream. Part 1, Getting Ready. A. The following words will appear in this unit. Listen carefully and study the definitions.
1. Depreciation. 2. Overdraft. 3. Proposition. 4. Bearing. 5. Collateral. 6. Retailer. 7. Sue. 8. Mint. 9. Hoard. 10. Crunch.
B. Listen to the following dialogues. Complete the exercises. Dialogue 1. Tick the expenditure items mentioned by the speaker.
You asked me where all the money goes. It's difficult to say exactly, but obviously we spend a lot of money on groceries. I enjoy cooking, and as we have a large family, 4 children, our food bill is quite big. We also like eating out. My wife and I probably go out to a restaurant about once a week. Unfortunately, there are no theatres around here, so we don't go to the theatre as much as we'd like. But we do spend money on our hobbies. I like doing jobs around the house. I'm one of the local DIY centre's best customers. And I'm very keen on sailing. That's a very expensive hobby. I'm also very interested in antiques, especially clocks. You must let me show you my collection one day.
I'd like that. I wanted to ask you about holidays. Do you usually go abroad or stay in this country?
We usually stay here. In fact, we spend very little on holidays. We have a small house near the sea, and we usually go there. That's where I do my sailing. We did go away for a week last year, but that was exceptional.
Dialogue 2. Complete the chart. Use ticks to indicate whether the expenditures on those items are up, down, or the same as last year. Supply the figures mentioned.
So, how much did we spend on entertainment this year?
2,566.
That's down a little on last year. And what's the figure for depreciation?
300. The same as last year.
Expenditure on secretarial expenses is up.
Yes. That's a big increase there.
What's the figure of 2,612 for?
Yeah, where's that?
Six figures down.
That's motor expenses.
And what does this figure represent?
Audit and accountancy costs.
They're both up a lot.
Yes, but expenditure on telephone and postage is down. It's half as much as last year.
Part 2. Raising money for buying a car. A. Listen to the dialogue. Take notes. Then complete the summary.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Jackson. Good afternoon. I've come to see you to see whether it's possible to get an overdraft. I want some money. I'll tell you quite frankly what it is. I'm wanting to buy a new car. I don't know whether it's possible to raise any money from the bank in this way.
I see no reason why not.
I've got an old car.
What's your proposition?
Well, I've got this old car, which is an 80-year-old Morris 1000. And I don't think there's any point in having it repaired anymore because it just isn't worth it. I feel that I could probably get about £100 for it, and then that means that I would need about another 400 odd, 350 on top of that to buy not a new car exactly, but a newer one.
Do you use the car for your business, for your work?
Yes, I do, up to a point. That is to say, sometimes I take it to work and sometimes I don't. Because I'm almost within walking distance of the college. Does this have some bearing on the question of whether I can get an overdraft?
No, I don't think so. It was just a matter of interest that I asked you, really. You think 350?
I would say about 350 to 400. With the other £100, then it would be about £500. Well, one can get quite a decent car for £500. Second hand, of course.
Quite. And what sort of period of time could you repay us?
Well, this rather depends on you. I would like to, What is the normal procedure for such a sum of money?
Well, for such a sum of money, we could expect repayment within 24 months.
2 years?
2 years.
I see.
We are lenders in the short term, remember, not long term.
Yes. Do I pay interest on this?
You will pay interest on... The type of loan I have in mind is a personal loan, as I assume you've got no form of collateral to offer.
What is collateral?
Well, have you any shares in any companies or life policies, deeds of houses, or anything like that?
I have some government securities. Would this be sufficient?
You have some government securities, and what is their value?
It's about...
Have you got these certificates?
800 pounds or so.
About 800 pounds.
Yes, but I don't want to...
You don't want...
Cash them.
No, no. Well, you wouldn't. That wouldn't involve you in cashing them. I could grant you an ordinary loan where the interest to you would be less than on a personal loan if you were willing to charge that share certificate to us.
Yes, I see. Is it possible to... That would be the only security which you would need, in fact.
I shouldn't need any other security other than that. Not on a loan of that size. Or if you would agree to do it on a personal loan basis, which I would not require any security whatever, as on a personal loan, we have death cover and you are in regular employment, in good salaried employment, with a good salary. Therefore, I would not ask you for any security. But the interest rate would be higher than on an ordinary loan. I should charge you 7% on a personal loan, and that's on the original amount taken, whereas on an ordinary loan, it would be at 1.5% over bank rate, minimum 6%. And that would be calculated on a day-to-day basis, so it does in fact work out cheaper.
I see, yes.
B. Now try this. Listen to a more authentic version of the dialogue. First, complete the chart to show the differences between the two loans. Then, try to find the English equivalents of the Chinese expressions listed.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Jackson.
Good afternoon. I've come to see you to see whether it's possible to get an overdraft. I want some money. I'll tell you quite frankly what it is. I'm wanting to buy a new car.
Yes.
I don't know whether it's possible to raise any money from the bank in this way.
I see no reason why not.
I've got an old
what
car.
What is your proposition?
Well, I've got this old car, which is an 8-year-old Morris 1000, and I don't think there's any point in having it repaired anymore because it just isn't worth it. I feel that I could probably get about £100 for it, and then that means that I will need about another 400. Odd, 350, mm-hmm. On top of that to buy not a new car exactly, but a newer one.
Mm-hmm. Do you use the car for your business, for your work?
Yes, I do up to a point. That is to say, sometimes I take it to work and sometimes I don't, because I'm almost within walking distance of the college.
Mm-hmm.
Does this have some bearing on the question whether I can get an overdraft?
No, I don't think so. Just a matter of interest that I asked you, really. You think 350?
I would say about 350 to 400. With the other
yes.
£100, then it would be about £500. Well, one can get quite a decent car for £500. Second hand, of course.
Quite. And what sort of period of time could you repay us?
Well, this rather depends on you. I would like to... What is the normal procedure for such a sum of money?
Well, for such a sum of money, we would expect repayment within 24 months.
2 years.
2 years.
I see.
We are lenders in the short term, remember, not long term.
Yes. Do I pay interest on this?
You will pay interest on... Well, the type of loan I have in mind is a personal loan, as I assume you've got no form of collateral to offer.
What is collateral?
Well, have you any shares in any companies or life policies, deeds of houses or anything like that?
I have some government securities. Would this be sufficient?
You have some government securities, and what is their value?
It's about £800 or so.
About £800?
Yes. so I don't want to...
You don't want
cash
to...
them.
No, no, well, you wouldn't. That wouldn't involve you in cashing them. I could grant you an ordinary loan where the interest to you would be less than on a personal loan if you were willing to charge that share certificate to us.
Yes, I see. Is it possible to... That would be the only security which you would need.
I shouldn't need any other security other than that. Not on a loan of that size. Or if you would agree to do it on a personal loan basis, which I would not require any security whatever, as on a personal loan we have death cover and you are in regular employment, good salaried employment with a good salary, therefore I would not ask you for any security.
Yes, yes.
But the interest rate would be higher than on an ordinary loan.
Yes.
I should charge you 7% on a personal loan, and that's on the original amount taken, whereas on an ordinary loan, it would be at 1.5% over bank rate, minimum 6%, and that would be calculated on a day-to-day basis, so it does, in fact, work out cheap.
I see.
Part 3. Housing in the USA. Listen to the material. Complete the outline. Then give the right words according to the explanations.
In the U.S. today, the cost of housing is very high. It is common to pay one-fourth to one-third of a family's income on a place to live. The price of a house depends on its size and location. Big houses are more expensive than smaller ones. And houses closer to the center of big cities are more expensive than ones in the suburbs or in small towns. Regardless of the cost, it is usual for people to buy their houses over a period of time. When a family buys a house, it is necessary to borrow money from a bank to pay for it. Then they repay the bank in regular payments. This kind of bank loan is called a mortgage. Families can take 30 years to pay off the mortgage. Without a mortgage, it would be impossible for most people to own their houses. Many Americans don't own their own homes. They pay landlords to live in their homes. The money they pay for this is called rent. Usually, it is cheaper to rent than it is to buy and to pay a mortgage. Also, when something needs to be repaired, it is easy for the renter to ask the landlord to fix it. Some people rent houses, but most renters live in apartments. Apartment buildings are located in cities where it is too costly to build houses. Recently, it has become common for renters to buy their apartments. When this happens, the cost usually increases, but the money goes to pay off the mortgage. Apartments bought this way are called condominiums.
Part 4. More about the topic. Consumer rights. A. Listen to an interview about consumer rights under English law. While listening for the first time, add more keywords in the left-hand column. After the second listening, use keywords to answer the questions.
Many consumers are unaware of their rights in buying goods from shops and stores. Dave Watts of the Office of Fair Trading is here to explain exactly what your rights are under English law. Dave, first of all, what are the acts that give the buyer rights?
Well, Sandy, there are two acts. Mm-hmm. There's the Sale of Goods Act and the Trades Descriptions Act. And both cover the rights of a buyer in contracts that he or she enters into with traders.
And who are the traders exactly?
Well, traders means any shop, doorstep salesman, street market stall, or mail order firm.
And so what is a contract, then, in this respect?
Well, if you buy anything from a trader, you have, in fact, entered into a contract with him.
And do traders have obligations?
Yes. They have three main obligations. The first one is that the goods are of merchantable quality.
Hang on, what does merchantable mean?
Well, that means fit for the purpose, bearing in mind the price that you've paid for it, mm-hmm. the nature of the goods and how they're described. For example, a pair of shoes which fall apart after 2 weeks' normal wear are not of merchantable quality. Very cheap or second-hand goods needn't be top quality, but they must still fulfil this obligation. And the second obligation is that the goods are fit for any particular purpose made known to the seller. And the third one is that the goods are as described.
As described?
Yes, on the package, or as illustrated or described on a display sign, or verbally by the seller himself.
And if you think you have cause for complaint, what should you do?
Well, you must take the item back to the shop, unless it's too large or fragile to move, in which case the trader must collect it from you, and you'll be entitled to all or part of your money back, a cash refund, plus compensation for any loss or personal injury.
Instead of taking it back to the shop, would it be a good idea to send it to the manufacturer?
No, definitely not. It's the retailer's responsibility. But you could sue the manufacturer if you've suffered personal injury, say.
Oh, and what about receipts? Should you keep them, or doesn't it matter if you throw them away?
Well, the purpose of keeping receipts is so that you have some evidence of your purchase, and also the date of the purchase, which sometimes is very important. But the retailer's not within his rights to say no refunds without a receipt.
Suppose a retailer refuses to give a refund for faulty goods, even when he legally has to.
Well, in that case, you should go to your local Citizens Advice Bureau or to the Trading Standards Office, sometimes called the Consumer Advice Centre.
Oh, I see. And if the worst comes to the worst?
Well, you may have to go to court and sue the seller for your money or for compensation. But that's very rare, I'm glad to say, as it's more costly for the retailer to defend themselves in court than it is to give you your money back.
Dave, thank you very much.
Thank you.
B. Now, listen again. Decide whether the statements after the interview are true or false. Put T or F in the brackets.
Statements. 1. Second-hand goods should also be of merchantable and top quality. 2. If you have suffered personal injury because of the item you bought, you can sue the manufacturer. 3. The retailer has the right to say no refunds without a receipt. 4. Going to court is not very common because as a consumer, it is very costly for you to get the money back.
Part 5. Do you know? A. Before you listen, answer the following questions. 1. Do you like collecting coins? 2. Do you think that collecting too many coins will cause a problem? B. Now listen to the news report. Complete the chart. Then answer the questions with key words. A penny saved is a penny earned, but too many pennies saved is a big problem for the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank in Philadelphia. Some area stores have been asking customers to dig for exact change as their cash drawers have run short of pennies in recent weeks. Meanwhile, stores and banks have sharply increased their orders for pennies, though no one can point to a reason for a shortage except the accumulations that pile up on dressers, in jars, and in piggy banks, Federal Reserve Bank spokesman Bob McCarthy said.
People do not take time to put pennies back in their pockets,
McCarthy said last Wednesday.
Everyone hoards.
As area merchants feel the crunch, some have posted notes at cash registers asking customers for exact change. Chris McDowell, manager of a downtown Wawa food market, said he has run short of pennies several times in the last 2 weeks, but customers have helped the cashiers cope. Sometimes the cashier will return a little extra money to make the change come out even. At other times, a customer will hand over a dollar for a 98-cent item and wave away the change, he said. McDowell said he understood the tendency to pile up pennies.
I have a 5-gallon, 18.93-liter jug at home that I would say is 3/4 full of pennies. I just don't want to wrap them,
he said. McCarthy said a national shortage would be unlikely, since the two U.S. mints in Philadelphia and Denver use most of their capacity producing pennies. He said the Philadelphia Mint produces 40 million pennies a day, and the $500 billion U.S. worth of U.S. currency in circulation worldwide includes 200 billion pennies. 听力课堂, 听class.com